Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. We certainly appreciate you joining us here on the Bill Michaels Show on the radio network. Thanks so much as always. Going to talk some NFL, going to talk some Packers football. Steve Berline, the analyst for NFL on CBS, going to be joining us coming up here in just a moment. This portion of the program be brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, don't forget, we have the huddle coming up on Thursday night. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio going to be live and in person with us out at Pottawatomie Bingo Casino and the hotel over at the Fire Pit Sports Bar. And I'm really looking forward to it. The Bud Girls are going to be there getting you registered for all kinds of prizes, but going to be doing the show live and in person out there at Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. So come on out, say hi, be a face in the crowd. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. He's the analyst for the NFL on CBS. Steve Berline now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I wish I could make you out there to the Pottawatomie Casino. That sounds like a lot of fun.
We'd love to have you, man. If you can ever make it by, that'd be fantastic. Hey, if you still got some arm, we could also use a quarterback. So keep that in the back of your mind as well.
Yeah, it's looking like that right now. It's an unfortunate situation, you know, with your number one guy. You guys are able to play and beat anybody in the NFL, and then all of a sudden you're just trying to hang on with what's going on. So it's a tough situation, I know, for Packer fans, but hopefully for your all's sake, Brett Hundley will rise to the occasion and show he can handle a job.
The team itself, I don't – how tough is it? Let me ask you this. How tough it is to come in and be in sync, or how long does it take to get in sync with your wide receivers?
Well, he's been there a long time, and I think we can sit here and make a lot of excuses for why he was as ineffective as he was, talking about Hundley on Sunday. And, you know, I'm a former quarterback. I played 17 years in the league. A lot of times going periods where I didn't play much, you know, for extended periods of time. But that doesn't matter. You know, the bottom line is you got to step up and play and produce when you get that opportunity, or you're not going to be around very long. And we can all sit here and say whatever we want to say. The bottom line is that Brett Hundley has to step up this week and show that he can – complete passes on a regular basis. He's got some talent out there. I really don't care when I'm looking at it and analyzing how little he's played or how few reps he's gotten. You got to step up and make plays. That's the bottom line, and he's going to find out the hard way if he doesn't start producing.
The one thing that I noticed perched up from our view was that he was about a second slow. We were saying, get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball. You could see what was going to transpire down in the field and anticipate those windows. We're just used to watching Aaron Rodgers play. He didn't have that level of anticipatory confidence. How long does it take yourself to get that? Or do you just have to throw it, make a couple mistakes, and then learn from those and then keep on plugging away?
Well, let me first off say there's only one Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers, we have our Monday NFL quarterback show that Rich Gannon, Trent Green, and I do every week on CBS Sports Network. And all the quarterbacks that we have to come on, Phil Simms, Warren Moon, Boomer Esiason, we all feel the same way about Aaron Rodgers. He's one of a kind. So you can't expect anybody to step up to that level. I mean, he can make an average team, which I think the Packers are, in general, a very good football team by his ability alone. So that's not, you know, we can't compare him to Aaron Rodgers. But what you compare him to is how well he prepares. Does he know where he's supposed to go with the football? Is the ball coming out, like you said, is it coming out on time? Is it going to the right person? Is it accurate? And that's what you look for. You're not going to get all of the big playmaking ability that Aaron Rodgers brings to the table, but you should be able to function in an offense. And Mike McCarthy knows Hundley well enough and knows what he does well and what his strengths and weaknesses are, and he's going to have to adjust it probably this week just to get the guy some confidence and get him going. But the bottom line is, if he's preparing properly and if he's got the ability to identify where the best matchup is, where the best opportunity is, he should be able to get that ball out on time and accurately. And that's what we didn't see much of last week, and it has to start happening this week for him.
So I look at this Packers team and I think, well, they got some obviously some offense, some weaponry on the outside. How much does it mean now that they actually have found themselves a run game in Aaron Jones?
Oh, it means a tremendous amount. There are very few quarterbacks in the league that can carry a team without the support of a running game, and so that it makes the job so much easier. I mean, look what's happening in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles. I did that game on Sunday, the Colts and the Jaguars. The fact that Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin have come in and established all the principles of a sound running game have made Bortles' job that much easier. He can now find himself not having to force things in an offense, you know, where you're looking at second long and third and long all the time. The threat of the run forces defenses to play honestly, respect that threat, and it makes the matchups and the identification and the situational football much easier. So, yeah, having Aaron Jones in there, that's Brett Hundley's job is made a lot easier because of the fact that he does have that run game. But here's what's going to happen this week. And I didn't look at the film close enough last week, so I don't know if it really was the case. But they're going to come up and make Brett Hundley show that he can beat him. So they're going to do anything they can do to take away the run game and put the game on Brett Hundley's shoulders. And he's going to have to show that he can identify the matchups and make the throws on the outside to make him pay for that.
Talking with Steve Berline, analyst for the NFL on CBS, and I want to go to the opposite side of the football, over to the defensive side. As a quarterback looking at this defense that has had communication issues in the secondary, so many personnel changes that they try to run out there, hasn't been able to get consistent pressure on the quarterback. It just seems like right now here in Packerland, we kept saying, well, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and this offense is flowing the way it should, then, well, you need a top 15 defense to really kind of support that to get deep into the postseason, because Aaron Rodgers can really cover up a lot of blemishes. Where does this defense have to perform now that Brett Hundley is under center?
Well, there's a lot of pressure on that defense now, and I think the Packers have a good defense. I don't think they have a great defense, but I think they can become a very good defense when they're playing with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers again, because you're gonna have the lead a lot of times. You're not gonna be trailing by a large amount where the other team can just kind of run the football right at you and you know, really make you man up physically. What Dom Capers, and I know Dom well, I played for him in Carolina, what he does, what his style of defense is to get in those obvious passing situations and try and create confusion with some of the exotic looks. And that's when the Packers become very effective. You can turn those edge rushers loose. You can run a lot of different stunts and schemes on the inside and try and create indecision for the opposing quarterback. But if you're just lining up and playing, you know, regular, solid, you know, first and second, third and short type of football, and you're not playing with a lead, I think this defense becomes a very average defense. And so it all does kind of play together.
Best team right now in the NFC, if you'd have to look at them today?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. After last night, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. The way that they're playing right now, both sides of the ball, elevated by a guy who I really felt all along was going to be a great quarterback. But he's even surprised me with how well he's come along, Carson Wentz. you know, rapidly proving to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now with what he's done this year. So I think the Eagles are the team to beat right now in the NFC.
Steve, great stuff. We certainly appreciate it, man, and we will talk again down the road. Love the stuff on CBS as well. Certainly appreciate it, okay?
You got it. Anytime, Bill. Take care.
There you go. Talk to you later. There you go. Steve Berline, analyst for the NFL on CBS, talking to us for a couple of minutes. He's an analyst, as we all know. Plus, they don't forget they have the Thursday Night Football. Continues on CBS this week as the Dolphins are going to be taking on the Ravens and the Dolphins. Look out. The Dolphins under Gase have put together a few wins after they got just ugly beat down when they were over in London. They got blanked by the Saints over in London, and since then they've actually played pretty good. Don't forget Jay Cutler also on that team who went down this past week. But the Ravens, I can't figure the Ravens out. The Ravens got a long time, a lot of success off their defense. Their defense hasn't been great, and Joe Flacco, after getting paid, has not been spectacular by any stretch of the imagination, to say the very least. But nevertheless, that's the game coming up this Thursday night. It's the Dolphins are taking on the Ravens on Thursday Night Football, as seen on CBS. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by one of my favorite places, and that is the place that carries the pepperoni melt with the extra mayo, extra cheese. Go in. Somebody tweeted me the other day. It said, I went in and ordered the Bill Michaels. They didn't know what it was. So I said, here's what it is. They told them, and the one guy that walked in and said, okay, I remember that. Somebody else came in and ordered it that way. Keep going into Cousin Subs all throughout the great state of Wisconsin and order the Bill Michaels extra mayo, extra cheese. That's a pepperoni melt. Love that thing. People just love that thing. And get it for yourself. Get it to the side of Radio Joe Cheese Curds. We all love that as well. And the beverage of your choice, and you're good to go. And if you really want something to cap it off, they have those cookies, those chocolate chip cookies. Those used to be the Midwest Airlines cookies. Those things are fantastic. Stop in any participating Cousin Subs today. Download the app on your Apple and your Android phone. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. You deserve better. So stop into any Cousin Subs. Good stuff as always. When we come back, we're going to hear some thoughts from Aaron Jones last night. We had a great night at the Horse and Plow. It was so much fun. Gary Ellerson, yours truly, and Aaron Jones, the new running back for the Green Bay Packers, and really had a good time chatting with him, talking to his parents. A lot of neat stuff about Aaron Jones. You're going to hear that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
This is the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Got a note here, and this is Mark. This is from Mark. And I did not see Mark at the Admirals game this past week, but Mark said that he saw me and the kids down there on Friday night. We are going to be heading to Super Bowl, heading over to Minneapolis, and I was just showing Mike Clemens a little while ago. When I grew up as a kid, getting into high school, getting my driver's license, the one place that we went to eat all the time, besides Skyline and White Castle, was Zantigo's. And what happened was, Zantigo was really growing in the Midwest, and they were just bought out by Taco Bell. I think it was Pepsi or Yum Brand. I can't remember. They all blend together after a while. But anyway, long story short, Taco Bell just bought them out and just got rid of them. Okay? Zantigo locations ended up becoming nothing. You know, they just either went away. They either became a Taco Bell or just they leveled the building and it became something else. So I found out after doing the show last year, we were talking about, you know, the anticipation for going to Minneapolis. Zantigo's are still around, and they're in Minnesota. They're in Minneapolis. There's three of them in Minneapolis, in that area. I can't wait. So I went to the website, and I looked, and sure enough, same menu, the whole thing. So I'm, like, out of my mind. So we're going to Super Bowl. Which leads me into this, because I got an email here that said, great to see you down at the Admirals game and supporting the local teams on Friday night. Looks like the kids had a great time. I took your advice. I went over to San Giorgio, and I actually ordered the Bill Michaels. And when I did, the girl that took my order behind the bar said, do you want us to pair it up with the Cider Boys? Now, the Point Brewery is locally based. They're based in Stevens Point. Okay, they got a lot of great stuff. But one of the things that they have is a cider, a hard cider that tastes like apple cider. Tastes like apple cider. It's fantastic. So when we were down at San Giorgio getting the pizza with Gino and them, my buddy Joe Martino comes over and says, hey, try it with this. So we did. And not only is it brewed locally, but it's fantastic. So they paired that up. So now you go down to San Giorgio, and you can get the Bill Michaels, which is a fantastic pizza. Get that, pair it up with the Cider Boys. That's the way they're selling it. Now, you can get your own beverage if you want, but it's just awesome. So he ended up going down and not only supporting the Milwaukee Admirals, who have big games coming up, and by the way, the Admirals are on the road. It is superhero night. Joe, I was thinking of you when they were talking about this. Superhero and Star Wars and all that kind of craziness. Down at the arena where the Wolves play this weekend as they take on their rival, the Milwaukee Admirals. So the Admirals are on the road this weekend taking on the Chicago Wolves. But when you're going to head down to any of the games, whether it's over to the Mecca, as we're going to call it this weekend, for the Bucks, or you're going to head down to Bucks games or Marquette games or Admirals games or UWM Panther games, stop over to San Giorgio. Great pizza. The only authentic Napoletana pizza in the state of Wisconsin. There's only 60 of these in the country. And then pair that Bill Michaels up with the Cider Boys that they carry down there and have at it. And don't forget to support the Milwaukee Admirals, a great local team, local franchise. And they you know, obviously you get a chance to see a lot of their players eventually up in the bigs. So good stuff over there. Thanks for sending me the note, and thanks for supporting the program. So real quick, let's get back to the phone call, because Jerry's been on hold a while. Jerry's listening to us in Marshfield on 92.3 FM. Jerry, how you doing, man? What's up?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Thank you. We're doing well.
Well, I've got a lot of questions. The defense, they need help in defense. And the offensive line is in disarray. And my feeling is Rodgers will not be there in 3 more years after his contract runs out if they don't get him help.
Well, no, I appreciate the phone call. They're going to keep Aaron Rodgers. Trust me. They will keep Aaron Rodgers. There's no doubt about that. They're not letting him go anywhere. You know, unless things went horribly wrong and he just said, you know what, this ain't happening. They will keep Aaron Rodgers. He'll be around. I don't worry about that. But they need to fortify that team. They need to be a little more truer to, you know, it's easier said than done. You got to hit on the draft picks. That's just it. You got to hit on the draft picks. Speaking of a draft pick, now let's say they did hit on Aaron Jones. He looks to be, at least right now, looks to be the real deal. Now, 2 games, 3 games is not a career make, but you know, when did it hit him that not only was he a Green Bay Packer, but he's here in the NFL?
I don't think it hit me till OTAs, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was doing football stuff up here, but it didn't hit me until I'm like, man, I'm like living in Green Bay. I'm actually doing this, and that's when it first hit me.
So when he was, you know, asked or called upon, hey, you're getting a start. This is it. Here you go. Was he nervous?
Just the basic nervous, like my first start in the NFL. I mean, that's a big thing for anybody.
So when he was also – now, Gary Ellerson and I were both there last night, and we were asking him, when you get the start, when you're the guy, how are you preparing?
I want the ball. I'm a running back. That's what we do. But it's just like it starts in practice. How you prepare is how you're gonna play.
Then when you ask him about the defenses, with Aaron Rodgers not there, defenses are playing different because they're bringing guys up in the box now.
Well, teams are going to play you different when you don't have Aaron Rodgers back there. He's a threat, and everybody fears him. So teams can kind of stack the box and dare you to run the ball, make Brett beat you. But he's capable of that. As he showed, he's going to get better with Tom, and I'm excited for him.
Certainly hope he does get better with time. One of the questions Gary and I had for him, and this is interesting because I don't talk a lot about this, the anthem protests, but it's unique because his parents are both military people. So we asked him, how does this go over with you and your family?
I'm Stan personally, but I don't have a problem with anybody who takes a knee because I believe in equality and I support them regardless of anything. So I'm the Stan, though, personally, and my parents stand, but they don't. They respect everybody who takes a knee as well because they believe in equality, and that's the biggest thing.
So he when players take a knee, because Gary had brought this up, that the original message was, you know, about the police and communication and opening up the lines of, you know, treating African-Americans in the community and some of the things that had gone on via the police department. Now the things got all over the place. The messages have gotten everywhere. So he was asked, why do players take a knee?
Just like you said, we all come from different walks of life, different backgrounds. Some people may have not gone through what others have gone through, but what does able to sit down and talk about it, they get an understanding of it, and they're like, okay, we see why.
So he says they see why they kind of do what they do. Now he talked about the guys that were, you know, kind of instrumental in not necessarily taking a knee for the Green Bay Packers, but the guys that said, let's get our message out there, but do it in a way in which we're solid together as a team.
Him and Martellus Bennett were two very different walks of life, and they kind of had the same perspective on it. And that was one of my, my things. I talked to my parents, and I was like, how come people are saying this is about the military? Nobody's ever disrespected the military once through this whole taking a knee thing. Like, nobody's ever said anything bad about the military.
And that's what it originally was discussed, because remember, when Colin Kaepernick took the knee the first time, or sat the first time, he then talked to, I think it was a Navy SEAL, who said, you know, it's probably more respectful if you just take a knee. You still get your message across, but you're still kind of reflecting respecting, you know, the flag, so to speak. And that's where all that became from. And he said, look, I'm still standing. I'm still doing my thing.
It's a sense of being together. We're standing there together, and it's us. And you can still put your hand across your heart. I still do, even though our arms are locked.
Correct.
There you go. So that's a little bit from Aaron Jones last night. Really good guy. Really, I mean, still called Gary and I yes sir the whole night. We kept telling him, you don't have to. He's like, it's just what I am. I grew up in a military family. I grew up with respect for my parents, and you know, it's a very interesting saying that if you respect your parents, you'll respect everybody else, and if you don't respect your parents, you won't respect anybody else. And he was just a great guy. And it goes back to when I first had a chance to meet him, Joe. Remember, we were on Radio Row in Houston, Texas last year, and Lee Steinberg brought him and Jamal Williams both to us and said, I think you're right. In that way he has of speaking, he said, I think you ought to meet with these guys, you know, that type of thing. So he brought him over, and just great to talk to. And we got a chance to know him a little bit at Super Bowl, and same standards, same, you know, demeanor, same respect, just really good guy. So he's a guy that not only do you like watching, but you can really root for as well as a Green Bay Packer. When we come back, you know, we can talk some Packers, we can talk some Bucks. It's wide open. Last half hour of the program. Normally we don't do this because usually we try to remain on topic, but we've had so much reaction to both today, to Giannis, to the Bucks, to the win. They're 3-1. Giannis has got off to an incredible start. And then there's the Green Bay Packers. You know, that it's a team right now in flux, and there's a lot of thoughts regarding the personnel, regarding the coaching. Can they straighten this thing out? Do you trust Mike McCarthy, who has said now the last couple of weeks that he's going to get this fixed? You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, I think it's a legitimate discussion. So you pick it. Whichever one you want to chime in on, chime in. Phone lines are wide open, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com. Toll-free talk line. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Michael Show is on the air. Glad to have you. Opening it up, because we've talked Packers, we've talked Bucks today, rightfully so. We're going to talk more Badgers tomorrow. Tom Oates of the State Journal going to be here tomorrow. Gary Wolf of the Racine Journal Times talking Bucks. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to be here tomorrow to talk some Packers. And earlier today, we chatted with Bob McGinn from Bob McGinn Football. Bob McGinn, long-time Packer beat writer, 20-plus years as a Packer beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I had asked him about, the Packers, you know, as far as all the problems they had defensive problems, they had tackling issues, they had personnel issues, they had to take timeouts because of it. And he went squarely to what he believed to be the problem.
Terrible coaching job on a Sunday. 10 men on the field on defense for a second, a good running play within 3 weeks, blown timeouts, not having your best people on the field at the end of the game. Third and one on offense, not having Jones in the lineup and running Ty Montgomery to dance and dart for a loss. No, it was a very poorly coached game, Bill. And in these situations, the head coach has to get a team to rally to him and all those 22 assistant coaches. That's the only way they're going to win. It's how the Vikings are 4-2 with Case Keenum. 3-2 as a starter and 1-0 that he relieved Bradford. That's how you do it. And they didn't do it in 2014, and they have to do it now, or it's just going to be a mail-in non-playoff year.
And that is an ominous, ominous, ominous statement. Now, here's the question that we posed, and we've posed it throughout the day. Do you have faith in Mike McCarthy? Go back to the game against the Minnesota Vikings. And Mike McCarthy, I mean, look, you can knock him all you want. I mean, there are people out there just that can't wait to say, I told you so. That's fine. You can knock him all you want, but you can't tell me that he has had nothing to do with the success of the Green Bay Packers. That would be for as much of the negative as you want to heap on Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers and Ted Thompson, you, but in essence, have to give them credit. You just have to. You can't just say that all the negative has been the coaching staff and all the positive has been Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. You can't do that. Football is the most prolific game in which it takes every guy. Now, can a guy elevate your team? Absolutely. The same as a guy can elevate your team in the NBA. Where do you think some coaches would be if, say, it's the same mentality? Well, if LeBron's not on your team, you're not a very good coach. You know what? You don't have that talent. Doesn't make you a bad coach. You just don't have that talent. You have to figure out how to coach guys up. So he's basically saying, look, the last couple of weeks, coming out of Minnesota and saying, look, we played a sloppy game, didn't tackle well, fundamentally unsound, we will not play like that again. Mike McCarthy said that. And then to have this game back it up, in which they were fundamentally unsound, a lot of penalties because of communication, coaches couldn't get the right personnel on the field, or they put the wrong personnel on the field. You can't then pound the desk and go, we will not allow that to happen. So the question became, how much do you trust Mike McCarthy to actually turn this around? And I'm not saying that they have to run the table. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to make this team competitive, to where week in and week out, you have a legitimate shot at winning a ballgame. To where I'm talking about belief, not because every week you take the field, you have a legitimate shot at winning a ballgame. But I'm talking about fan belief in this team. Do you believe that Mike McCarthy has the capability to turn it around to make this team better than what they are, as it sat here in front of us on Sunday? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. And then earlier today, obviously, we had Johnny Mack on. We were talking some Bucks basketball. We can get into that as well. Now, the other thing that Bob McGinn had talked about was all the personnel changes defensively. And I had asked the question, because is it the personnel? Is it the coaching? Are they making it too complicated? Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, just he doesn't look right. There's a lot of things going on there right now, and all the innuendos seem to be that, well, it's Dom Capers' fault. Here's what Bob had to say.
Let's look at personnel, Bill. They drafted Beagle to assist their rush, the kid from Wisconsin, and they haven't seen him. I mean, that's a problem. Now, they got to start playing Montrevious Adams. He's a third-round pick. He is supposedly drafted to provide interior pass rush, which they need, and he's been inactive. So he's healthy. He's been healthy for almost 2 months. They've got to see this guy. And they really need Ahmad Brooks back, because Fackrell's giving him nothing, and Chris Odom's giving him nothing as that third rusher. But that's injuries. They're giving up. They're leaking too many big plays. The secondary has just not been good. The pass rush has not been good. They've been playing the run okay until this past game, and they got gashed pretty good. So they got a lot of work to do on defense, and Dom Capers has been here 9 years. Everybody knows, Bill, I mean, I've heard this a lot from people in the league, that if he was fired, it wouldn't be long before he got a job come first week in January.
And that's the other aspect of all of this. I mean, there's a lot of people in this league that really respect Dom Capers, that think that he's a really, really good defensive mind. And so many people are ready to just toss him out. I don't know if I'm ready to do that. And for those that just say, he sucks, well, you know, is it the personnel? Is it Dom Capers? Is it the injury? What is it? I mean, is it all three? Because if it's all three, you can't just say a guy sucks, okay? And that's just that. That's too simple. That's too easy, okay, just to be able to throw somebody out like that. But can another defensive mind come in and maybe make some of these guys better, relate to some of these guys? I don't know. That's a great question. And if it continues to be a bottom-half dwelling defense numerically, then at some point you got to ask yourself, do we just need a different voice? You know, Mike McCarthy did that with his coaches last year. He went to the podium and a couple of coaches he cut loose and said, we just needed a different voice. And I'd said at the time, you paint yourself in a corner, because if you're just winning and you're getting to the postseason, but you're not getting that advancement and you're not getting to the Super Bowl, the question then becomes, do you just need a different voice? Well, if it's defensively speaking, do they just need a different voice? You know? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com. Toll-free talk line. We'll talk to Jim listening to us in Sparta when we come back. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Show is on the air. We're talking about earlier with Bob McGinn, who you just heard in the last segment, some of his comments. And the question I was asking was, well, you know, if this was a poorly coached team this past week, and then the week before that, Mike McCarthy said this will not happen again, and then you saw it happen again, do you trust McCarthy? I mean, it's life after Aaron Rodgers right now. I don't care what Adam Schefter says. 6 weeks, I think that's a giant steaming pant load myself. Dennis says the question is, do we trust McCarthy to clean up, a.k.a. turn around the Green Bay Packers after the last couple of poor performances? I say the answer is simple if you look at his past promises. I don't think anybody can argue that after almost every game the past 8 years, Mike McCarthy would complain about poor tackling and that he'd get it cleaned up. He's never cleaned it up. After 8 years, he couldn't get tackling cleaned up. Why should we trust him now? While the special teams are better after a coaching change, McCarthy has refused to clean up the real problem with the defense and fire Dom Capers. Capers has only had success with veteran players. He pretty much has failed in Thompson's draft and develop philosophy. See 8 straight playoff blowouts. Do I trust McCarthy to clean things? Let me say this. Dennis, they won games last year. They didn't get blown out last year. They won games in the postseason, so it's not 8 straight blowouts. Okay? Just so you know. Okay? Again, I'm not sitting here defending Capers completely, but some of you are so way over the top on this fire Capers thing. I then ask you, who are you going to get to come in, and what guy do you think is going to be markedly better than what Capers is putting out there right now? And don't tell me it's scheme, because I'm going to ask you what the scheme is, and you're going to have to tell me. If you can't explain it, that makes you a ginormous dumbass. Because I hear that crap all the time. It's a scheme! What are they running? 3-4? Wrong. They don't run 3-4. They run 3-4 maybe 20% of the time. The rest of it's NASCAR and Nitro and all the different packages and nickels and dimes. They're in nickel or dime more often than not. And, you know, they're bringing up safeties to play at linebackers. And they're trying to do things to put the best available athletes on the field. So don't tell me that, because that's not true. That just means that you're just making some cliche up just so it makes you sound smarter, I guess. So just be careful what you say. Look, if you think Dom Capers isn't capable of relating, isn't capable of coaching, and just because the statistics bear it out, I'd respect that a lot more than going, that's a scheme. Let's go to Jim listening to us in Sparta. Jim, how you doing today, man? What's up?
I'm doing pretty good. I just have a little issue with what McGinn is criticizing McCarthy because of the poorly coached team. And one of the issues he mentions is 10 players on the field. Well, those happen to be on defense,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the disorganization seems to be on defense. seems to me that that falls at the
right
capers, doesn't it?
Well, Mike McCarthy is, in essence, the offensive coordinator. And he's running different packages, different guys out there, but you're really not changing up your line. The only thing you're changing up is the wide receivers and maybe the running back. Very rarely are you changing, you know, obviously a quarterback. So you're only changing up certain sets for certain things. You're running out two tight ends, three tight ends, you know, whether it's a running back and a fullback, you're running out some wide receivers and such. But defensively speaking, you're changing everything out all the time. I mean, you have certain packages for certain things and certain situations and downs and distances. Sometimes you have Nick Perry, sometimes you don't. Sometimes Clay's gone, sometimes you don't. Appreciate the phone call. So there is a lot more moving parts to the defense than there is to the offense. So it does give you opportunity to screw it up more. I will agree with that. I think it comes down to guys that are relatable. I think it comes down to guys that understand it. I think it comes down to position coaches more so than anything. And you know, I don't know if that's the area that you go to look into, but for that defense to work and work like a well-oiled machine, there is so many moving parts there. It's not funny. I mean, they run a lot out, and the dictation comes from the offense. What is the offense running? What is the down and distance? If the offense is running three tight ends, two tight ends, four wide outs, no running back, empty back. I mean, whatever happens to come on the field, that's what the Packers are countering with, unless it's a particular down and distance and what they feel is necessary. So there's a lot of communication there that has to go on, and that communication has not been very good the last few weeks. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to Matt listening to us in Menomonee Falls. Matt, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, so I'm not on the fire, you know, keepers bandwagon or anything, but if they did fire him, let's just say at the end of the year, what about going after Lovie Smith in Illinois? I think he would leave Illinois to come back to the NFL, and I think he'd be a great defensive coordinator.
Lovie's had some good defenses in his past. You know, he didn't really get the job done defensively when he was with Tampa Bay. Certainly when he had some good players, I mean, which is the same argument some people make for, well, if you have good players, Dom Capers looks like a genius. Well, Lovie Smith had Urlacher and Lance Briggs and company, and he looked like a great defensive coordinator. You know, that defensive-minded guy, but he had some good talent, too.
When he was down in Tampa, though, he was the head coach.
Correct.
If you bring him in and he just has to focus on defense,
right,
I think that would be completely different. I really think he'd excel, and he knows the division.
Right.
He knows all the teams.
Yeah, you've seen, appreciate the phone call. You've seen guys that were head coaches before that came in from whether it's an offensive or defensive-minded coordinator position, and then when they go back to being just a coordinator, yeah, they've had quality guys. They've had quality defenses and or offenses. This one is from Dennis, who says, what about Jeff Fisher? He would make an immediate positive impact with the D. He has a history of great success building great defenses. He'd be the new choice that I would expect.
That is 7-9, okay?
It's really like throwing you a softball, isn't it, Joe? Like just a great big beach ball coming in with one of those great big fat wiffle ball bats.
Joe's a gamer.
Smack that the hell out of the park. The minute I just mentioned the word Jeff Fisher, you could just see it coming. It was like a giant light bulb went off above Joe here in the studio, and I could see him fishing for it. So
you can book that.
Thank you very much. So Jeff Fisher would be Dennis's call.
By the way, back to this, back to Lovie Smith.
Yes.
That Illinois football program, my God, what a joke. I think
they're playing all freshmen.
It's just so bad. And you know what?
Well, he just got there last year, but they're playing all freshmen.
And I'd like to see if, you know, they'll actually give Lovie a couple more years to rebuild this football program, because I've already seen some stuff that Lovie Smith is already in the hot seat, because Illinois is just, they're terrible. You know, and I saw something, by the way, and I don't want to get off topic on this, but, you know, TJ Edwards and Troy Fumagalli, who both extremely effective players for the Badgers, they're both originally from Illinois. That Illinois football program never even put an offer on the table for either one of those two guys. Man.
Right?
That is how pathetic Illinois is as a football program.
Mm-hmm.
Man. You know what? Again, when we're talking about how lucky we are in this state, we should be so thankful for what this Badger football program is. Yeah, they're not getting you to national championships, but the continuity, the consistency.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow, by the way.
We are going to get more into this tomorrow.
Because if I hear another Badger fan, look, I understand where the anxiety lies, but look, the Badgers are undefeated, and they have not a tough schedule the rest of the way. Their toughest game is either going to be against Penn State or Ohio State, and that's a big game coming up this weekend, Penn State facing Ohio State. If Penn State gets the win, it is all Penn State and Wisconsin on a crash course, and the winner of that game is in the Final Four. And I think there is one thing that fans are afraid of, and we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow, because I can't get a Badger fan to even give me the glimpse that they have national title aspirations. I can't get one. Not one. I'll talk to them about it, and they'll go, Ohio State, one. You know, nobody wants to look down that road. I don't know why. You're an undefeated team. But I get the sense I know why, and I talked about it a little bit this morning on the piece that I do overnight for a lot of our affiliate stations. And there's two words we're going to talk about tomorrow. And we'll get into that discussion, too. Hey, thanks to everybody that's on hold. I'm just not going to get a chance to get to you. We're at the top of the hour, and it's time for us to get out of here. But I want to remind you, coming up Thursday, head out to the huddle. We're going to be at Pottawatomie Casino and Hotel and Bingo and all the stuff that they have out there at the Fire Pit Sports Bar, 6 to 8 Thursday night. It's all brought to you by Bud Light. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Sure.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.